Now we're going to hear Jane and Mike share their experience on step three.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I'm Jane, and I'm an alcoholic. Woo, we're back. All right, step three. I'll read it. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So when I got to step three, I was making a decision. I don't really like to make decisions. Like, I avoid decisions. Always had a hard time making decisions. But I wanted to go through with this work, as I said before. And so I was presented with, in this chapter on how it works, it's got the 12 steps laid out. So I guess that's the decision we're making. It's right here, and I really love how it says, you know, half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which is suggested as the program of recovery. And it was presented to me that simple, is that the decision I'm making is to continue to do the rest of the steps. And I will gain my relationship with my higher power, and I will gain that. And she said, and you will find your own. You know, not mine, not anybody else's, but this is a process of spiritual awakening. And when you're awakened, you'll have room for God and that relationship. So, you know, I wasn't quite sure about this self-will yet at this point, because when you are completely wrapped in self-will, and that is all you are, you're not, there's nothing else going on but self-will, then you don't even know you're in self-will. You are self-will. That's your brain, your actions, and that's, I'm talking about me. And so at this point, you know, we read about, and I like to put I'm like an actor who wants to run the whole show. Is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, the rest of the play is in my own way. If my arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as I wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including myself, would be so pleased. I added so. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, I may be sometimes quite virtuous. I may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, if required, I may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. And that is me. Like, I am in this world trying to control and manipulate. I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to make me feel good. And it's me, 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 me. So what usually happens? The show doesn't come off very well. I begin to think life doesn't treat me right. I decide to exert myself more. I become, on the next occasion, still more demanding. Oh, gracious. As the case may be, still the play does not suit me. Admitting I may be somewhat at fault, I am sure other people are much more to blame. I become angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is my basic trouble? And this is one of my favorite lines. Am I not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Am I not a victim of the delusion that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only could manage it well. Oh, that's a lot of work. And that was me, selfish, egotistical. I wanted things, when things didn't go my way, this is going to lead me right into the next step of the work. You know, when people didn't do what I wanted, I got angry or self-pitying. And I would try to get them to do what I wanted anyway. If it's work, if it's family, it's my children, it's a spouse, whoever it is. And I don't know I'm doing this. It's so a part of me, I don't even know it. So when I was at the third step, I remember my mother saying, "Don't be selfish, Jane," because she probably saw it. And I remember it was just a really bad thing to be, but I didn't understand it because I am selfish. That is all I am. So how do you be unselfish? Like, I don't even know any different. I hope you're following me. Like, it was very difficult to get this chapter when you are selfishness. And so I was yesing my sponsor. I wanted to get to the fourth step. And so she said, we went through this, and we went through this reading. And she said, you know, when we got to the three pertinent ideas, she asked me those questions. You know, so do I believe I'm alcoholic and cannot manage my own life? So there's step one and two, that I can't control my alcoholism. If I put alcohol in me, I never know what's going to happen. The end of the tea line. You know, that's what happens to me, the end of the tea line. Everything's closed up. Jane's still on the tea. And could not manage my own life because of my alcoholic thinking and trying to manipulate and control everything. And nothing ever worked out the way I wanted. Then I was powerless over that thinking. And B, that probably no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. People pleaded with me to stop drinking or kind of tried to give me advice. It didn't go well. You know, maybe if you tried like asking your boss what he wanted you to do instead of telling him what he should do, like, you know, advice. And like, no human power, no person, if they cry or kick or scream or stomp their feet, they're not going to get me sober or to help my alcoholic thinking. Not going to happen. So C is the answer. God could and would if he were sought, and I had to be willing to seek. So I said, yes, yes, yes. And we got down on our knees, and I put the book right in front of me because I didn't know it by heart. And if we all want to say it together, it might be nice. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may be a witness to those that would help, by thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, and I do thy will always. Oh, that was beautiful. There. That is a very special prayer, and I felt something at once, and I was in the game. I was all in because I knew I felt something. My sponsor got a phone call and left, and I'm like, I am on. It doesn't matter. I'm on a track. I'm on something new, and I felt Like, I'm gonna give this. So we found it a desirable step to take. Without it, I can't even go on, because I really had to, be humble and to put aside, especially if you've been in AA for a while, take everything you know and set it aside. I tend to get a lot of sponsees who have been in AA for years because I'm old. I don't know why, but I love it. I love it. And I have a new one too, so I still keep getting some new ones. But most of them have been in AA for a while, and I get it because I was in AA for a while. And I do suggest to set everything you know aside. You have great experience. You have wonderful experience with other steps, and that's all valuable, and it all means a lot. But for this process, as we go through the instructions, keep it to these instructions. These are simple, simple instructions straight out of the book. Can't get simpler than this. And she said, if I ever say something that's not coming directly from these pages, then it's just my opinion. So you don't have to pay much attention. But she did keep coming back to this book and saying, let's take a line and let's look at it. So we set it at 9:15.
Yeah, 9:15 to 10, I think. I don't have my glasses.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so, 9:15 to 10.
Yeah.
Keep going, sweetie. Keep going.
See, I get this natural place of where I feel like I stop. I can't talk about, how I turned my life and will over to the care of God, because I was so immersed in self at this point, and I like to keep it right on the step, so I think I'll pass.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Good to hear my sweetie pie. Oh, that was pretty moving. I still think back to the attitude I had. I shared a little bit on it last night in regard to spirituality and, God. It still amazes me that I, would do anything like this. It would just sound so ridiculous to me, turning my will and my life over to the care of God. I was so, anti-God for really almost all of my life before I get into AA. So when I was at this point, I remember we did this reading, my sponsor and I, leading up to this step that, Jane just read about the actor, and I was incapable of seeing that. I think I mentioned that last night. I had to go forward with the following steps, and toward the end of the next step, I was starting to see how that reading about the actor applied to me. I couldn't see it at this point. Like Jane said, I know what you mean. I was selfishness. That is me. That's just naturally me. So I just can't see anything else. I remember this guy, the guy who actually 12-stepped me to Big Book Step Study. So I had this, I had the eye for this particular young lady in my home AA group who was really a young lady. She was actually young enough to be my daughter. And she was married and had two children. Yes. And I decided, being the actor, that what I need to be happy is her. You know, and I pursued that. You know, I went after that, and I remember this guy, the guy who 12 sent me to Big Book Steps Day. So he had been through the steps, and he had been, you know, awakened from his self-centeredness, you know, and he said, "Don't you think that's selfish?" And I didn't get it. I'm honest to God, I remember this clearly. I didn't get it. My response was, her husband is a scumbag. You know? She needs a good husband. You know, I had myself convinced I was doing the right thing. I had no consideration of the, you know, institution of marriage, you know, and of the children, how anybody would be affected or was being affected by me pursuing this girl. And the fact that she was young enough, I was old enough to be her father, you know. I remember, oh my God, I can't believe it. I sold her a car for about like half of what it was worth. Another, even when being kind, like it says, a self-seeker when being kind. So I sold me, you know, I pretty much gave her this car. So she and her husband and children came over to, I was taking care of my mom at the time. And my mom knew that I, you know, I was googly over this young girl. My mother must have been just like, oh my God, sorry. She was just continuing to pray for me. Please, God, save this guy, you know. When I think of it, it's unbelievable, you know. And so that, she took the car, but that didn't work, you know. She went off. She ended up actually going back out, you know, and another thing, I was trying to get her into the steps. Yeah, I'll get her into the steps. And because I had just begun this work, actually. I'd actually taken this step where I turned my will, you know. So turning the will is still an act in process for me on a daily basis. But I was writing, you know, I was doing that much at the time, but yeah, so I mean, sad for her, but thank God for me, she went back out, you know, and so she was gone, and so I was saved from myself in that situation. But that's just an example of where I was at, you know. And I had already, like I said, I had already taken this step. I was early on in the following step, but so when we went through that reading, I couldn't, at that point, I couldn't really grasp what it was about. But my sponsor explained to me, he put it to me this way. He said, this is a decision to do the rest of the steps. And he said, if you have reservations about doing the rest of the steps or don't want to do the rest of the steps, I would advise against making this decision. You know, because it requires that you follow up immediately after with beginning to take the action required, you know. And I had mentioned about the madness in my head, and that was my primary goal at that point, is I just wanted to get rid of that craziness, all that rage and all that fear that I was feeling and had felt, you know, my whole life. You know, alcohol helped somewhat, you know, to take some of the edge off of that. But it was, you know, as I mentioned last night, I was experiencing that as intense as I did when I was a little kid before I drank. And it was awful, you know. I never want to be in that place again, you know. And so... And again, I had seen the people in these type of meetings, Big Book Step Study meetings that I was going to in particular, and my sponsor had that serenity about them, you know. And again, they had told me over and over again that they had gotten that as a result of actually doing these steps. So I was kind of, at that point, turning my will over to the steps and to those people were like my, really at that, at this point, were like my higher power, you know. I wanted what they had, and I was willing to do what they did to get it. So that's what I understood, you know, when he told me this is a decision to go through with the rest of the steps. I think I was still, I know I was still holding on to the belief that I'd do a fourth and fifth step and then be on my merry way, that I'd be all better after that, in spite of, I'm sure I heard many times that that was not reality. But I can, you know, recently I've been having all these memories going back to early sobriety, and I remember being on a commitment with my group, and I had just got into Big Book Step Study and just decided I was going to do this work, and I remember saying, I'll do this big fourth step. They do these big fourth steps. I'll do this big fourth step, and then I'll do a fifth step, and then everything would be great. I remember saying that, and I believed it. I believed that that was going to be the case. So down the road, I was not only in for a spiritual awakening, I was going to be in for a rude awakening. But I wasn't there yet. That was my motivation at this point when I was at my formal third step. So, Jesus, I get emotional remembering these times. Who, you know, my sponsor just said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Yeah." There was no turning back. I so bad wanted what he had, you know, and those other. Men had, and so we got down on our knees and we read that prayer. He knew this prayer by heart because he had said it all along while he was writing his fourth step, and it was part of his daily prayer routine. And but he held the book. We knelt beside each other, and we read it, and. And we got done, and I didn't feel anything. I don't remember right away, but I remember we sat down, and he had a five-subject notebook and a black pen, and he handed it to me, and he said, "Okay, now is follow-up to the decision time, you know." And next, we read out of the book. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. So that's telling me the first step of the course of action is step four. And it says our decision, meaning the third step, could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by an effort, rigorous effort, I'm paraphrasing, to be rid of the things that have been blocking us, meaning blocking us from God. So I was ready to go. I remember this guy, Lucky, he used to come up from the Cape and to these meetings when they were early, just getting going. And he used to say these things. I remember one thing he said was, "How soon is that once?" You know? And my sponsor demonstrated that to me. He handed me this. I just got up off my knees, and he handed me this five-subject notebook. And he says, "Okay, now we're going to move on." And he said, "So I'm going to give you the first instruction. You keep saying this prayer before you do any writing. You get down on your knees and you say this prayer, and then just let it come." And he said, "So your first instruction is to write down everybody that you're pissed off at." And I said, "No friggin' problem." At all. I mean, it was right here. It was ready to fly, you know. It was, I had so much rage in me. It was my time. It was, you know, I see it clearly in hindsight now, you know. So he left, and he left me, and I got going, you know. And but I felt same way Jane did. I felt like a sense of relief and a real sense of hope. I felt like I There's somebody quoted in the big book that says, "I felt like my condition was relieved as it turned out to be." And I can identify with that. That's how I felt. I felt a lot of hope. I says, "Oh my God, now they've let me get going on this. Now I have something to do. Now I have directions. Now I have instructions. Now I have real guidance, you know. And now I have a chance. I really believe if I do this, I'll get what those people had." My sponsor said, "You'll actually get something." He said, "You can't have what I have. You can have something better. You're going to have your own. And it's going to be all yours, you know." And he wasn't lying, you know. I got that, but it was I was not there yet by a long shot. You know, there was a lot of work to do. So that was my formal step three. You know, my formal third step. I mean, this is a daily practice for me. It's about aligning my. I heard this, and I know it's true for me that I'm not surrendering my will. I'm aligning my will. I was told it takes willpower to do these steps, and I know it does. It takes willpower to write a fourth step. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's not natural for us to look at like our faults and our wrongs. That's not an enjoyable. Naturally enjoyable undertaking, you know. Takes willpower to do that. Definitely takes a willpower to do a fifth step, to go out and make amends and to live this way of life and help other alcoholics. It's action, action, action. Action requires willpower, you know, to take action. So it was explained to me, and that's the way I look at it today. I'm aligning my will. When I practice what I've been taught to practice in these steps on a daily basis, I'm aligning my will with God's will, and I'm not perfect at it. There's a guy in my men's group who puts it real simple. He says, if I'm driving along, somebody cuts me off, and I flip in the bird, that's not God's will. You know, he says, I have no problem. I know exactly what God's will. I don't wonder about what God's will is for me. I know exactly what God's will is for me. And it's, you know, to do the next right thing. And he said, God's will for me would be to pause, you know, and not respond like that, and maybe think, gee, maybe this person's mother is in the hospital dying or something, you know, maybe there's an emergency or something like that, you know. But so I've gone from driving other people's cars 100% of the time when I'm on the road to driving my own car maybe 50% of the time. So that's progress. So I'm not perfect at this turning my will over thing, you know, every day. But I've thankfully I've so far done well enough at it to be sitting here alive, you know, and sober with no desire to drink alcohol or use anything else, you know. And just a friggin' miracle. I'm happy to be here, and that's it for me.